Today, most of the day was spent dealing with the Windsor Continuation Group report. In fact, it ran over two sessions. We originally anticipated it only taking one. But as I indicated to you yesterday, the Archbishop of Canterbury has asked that we refrain from discussing the contents of that report and the discussion that took place in the meeting. He will cover that territory himself with you on Thursday, and as I said to you yesterday, he intends to release the report after this meeting is over. So whether that means you get it at the end of this week or before you go or not, I don't know, but he'll speak with you about that on Thursday. The latter part of this afternoon, we dealt with a report from the TEEC group, Theological Education in the Anglican Communion. It was a group set up by the primates some time ago to promote and support theological education around the communion. TEEC 1, as it were, has finished its work and made its final report to the primates this afternoon. And the primates have agreed to endorse the proposal that I've just given to you recommend to ACC 14 in May that TEEC 2 be established to carry that work forward, and the specific goals are set out in that document. It's a bit dry, but the intention is that the focus will be on resourcing and supporting theological educators, understood broadly, not merely people functioning in theological colleges and teaching formal courses, but more generally involved in the work of theological education around the communion. As you know, that's a matter that's close to the heart of the Archbishop of Canterbury himself. But I think most of your interest today will be in the discussion that went on last night about Zimbabwe. And the primates have agreed today to release a statement, and I have copies of it here for you. I have with me Archbishop Thabo Makoba, the Primate of Southern Africa, Archbishop of Cape Town, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Bishop Albert Chama, the Dean and the Senior Bishop of the Church of the Province of Central Africa. Now, both Albert and Thabo addressed the primates last night, and I must say the primates were very moved by what they had to say about their experiences firsthand in Zimbabwe. So I'll ask Thabo first, perhaps, and then Albert, just to recapitulate briefly some of what they said to the primates last night, so you hear it from them firsthand, and then they might like to make some comments about the statement. And I'll circulate that now so that you can cast your eyes over that as you listen to what they have to say. And then we've got a few minutes for questions. So, Thabo, if you'd like to speak for a few minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Last night we tried to impress upon the primates the urgency of the situation in Zimbabwe, the total collapse of the economy, the total collapse of the socio-political infrastructure, and we were appealing to the primates to assist in whatever humanitarian needs that they could provide to the people of Zimbabwe. But we were also saying on the 31st of March, the people of Zimbabwe spoke loud and clear in terms of that elections in 2008, and that President Mugabe is still holding to an illegitimate power, and that in the light of what people have said, he needs to step down, as our statement says. But this was also motivated by the fact that cholera epidemic is really ravaging the people of Zimbabwe, and being a neighbor to Zimbabwe on the Limpopo side in Southern Africa, the number of refugees is countless. The number of people that are deported back from South Africa into Zimbabwe continues to rise, and that if we don't intervene when our neighbor is suffering as South Africans, we will be failing God in terms of when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was poor, did you care for my needs? So that is really the gist of what I said. I tried to paint the political situation, and Bishop Albert spoke to the particular challenges that the church is facing.
Just give us a moment, Albert, to get these microphones over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Philip. I did brief the primates on the challenges that the people of Zimbabwe, especially Anglicans, that they are facing in terms of having accessibility to the church buildings where they should worship their God. And because of what is obtaining on the ground, they are barred from entering the churches. Whereas in the first place, the ruling was that from the courts, that we should share time, that is the CPCA Christians, those who have stayed in the Anglican Church, and those who have followed Norbert. And in the process, that has broken down. Those who are Christians who belong to CPCA, meaning the Church of the Province of Central Africa, are being denied access into churches, and they meet outside. There have been times when they have been actually beaten by the police when they want to force themselves into the churches, and they've resolved, as a matter of peace or gaining some kind of compromise, just to be meeting outside the churches, worship, break the bread, and that is a real challenge where people can be denied, you know, access to their own properties because the former bishop is still holding on to the properties. It's interesting that the arguments he presents are that his properties, he hasn't left the Anglican Church, when apparently he wrote officially to the former Archbishop of Central Africa, who passed on the information to me, in which he indicated that he had withdrawn from the Church of the Province of Central Africa together with the Diocese of Harare. But things tend to be different in a sense that the people he claimed to have moved out of the province with, they are still with the Church of the Province of Central Africa. And that was evidenced when we went to enthrone Bishop Sebastian Bakari, that people turned up in large numbers to come and witness that. Even though our people are being denied access to the churches, people belong to the former bishop's church, I call it, they are not even there. It's just a priest and his family who are found in these churches, while the multitudes end up worshipping outside. And for me, actually, it is something I've never seen in my Christian life, to see how faithful people can be to their God, in spite of all the difficulties, lacking accommodation in which they can worship their God in dignity, are still there, go to church. We've had situations where some ecumenical partners had offered us some places where we can worship, but in the process, some of them were being harassed. So we didn't want to cause more problems. We thought, oh, thank you for your hospitality. We don't want you to have problems. Hence, we have ended up using schools, and I tell them, just in the open air under the trees, next to the door of the church, which belongs to us, but we cannot be there because the police are standing 24 hours to guard those churches. And that's the biggest challenge. And of course, secondly, it's a situation where Bishop Sebastian has stood firm in making sure that the sheep is not scattered, and he continues to provide the needed oversight so that people are protected, people continue with their faith, people continue to look up to leadership like that of Sebastian. And this is also happening in the neighboring diocese in the eastern part of Zimbabwe. We call it Manikaran Diocese, where former Bishop Elson Chakazi is also holding on to the property of CPCA, claiming to be his. And actually, as I speak to you, we are in court, and most of the rulings that have been passed actually have been in our favor. But as you may know, Zimbabwe at the moment is very difficult. Nobody is there to enforce the judgments in terms of enforcing the law. So we had to contend with that. And we took a position of wait and see, hoping that when the peace accord or the inclusive government is in place, things will turn round. But at one point we had a stint where when the inclusive government was about to come into place, the attitude of the police actually changed. Our people began to be allowed to enter churches because nobody was monopolizing power above. But when that was sort of done away with back to square one, our people began to decide to deny them access to the churches. But we are praying that hopefully things works out. I'm saying hopefully because this has been tried before. It has never worked. So we are saying hopefully the inclusive government is in place. Maybe the rule of law is going to come back and we'll have justice done.
So these are situations where there are actually threats to the life of the lives of church leaders, and they're showing great courage in this situation. So you have the statement. I invite questions then. We'll do the same as last night. We might get two. We'll see how we go. Go this way. Okay. Is it all right if I just hold these mics and point them at the person who's going to respond? So, Kevin.
Hold by the thing. We'll just move the microphone. Light. My question is. Yes, you're being interrogated. My question is: both of you said hopefully this could work out. Africa or Kenya had the same type of problem with their elections, and not too long ago. Do you expect the same type of result could happen in Zimbabwe, where you have freedom at one at some point in the future?
I think one is hopeful being a Christian, and one doesn't want to lose hope. And that is why we are involved. We don't want another massacre. We don't want a Kenya repeated. We don't want to see people in Rwanda being massacred. We are worried about the signs that we see on the ground, people being kidnapped and people being killed, and some of these are not reported. So, and it is our Christian duty to want to intervene before the situation becomes more bloody.
You, George?
Archbishop, on December 7th, Archbishop John Sintamu called for armed intervention in Zimbabwe to remove the regime. Might I ask, what is your position on that, armed intervention?
I have called the Church of the Province of Southern Africa on Ash Wednesday to a time of prayer and solidarity with the people of Zimbabwe. And this meeting of the primates now, in the statement that you'll see, I've also called the churches within the Anglican Communion to support us in a time of prayer and solidarity for the people of Zimbabwe. In a situation of war coming from South Africa, whether it's high-intensity war or low-intensity war, you need to explore all available avenues before you throw in the towel. Thank you.
David?
Yes, there's an article just appeared today from allafrica.com that headlined Zimbabwe, Anglicans turf war rages on. The Bishop of the Anglican Church's Harare Diocese, Sebastian Bakari, says rogue police officers have frustrated all efforts by his group to seek a resolution of the church's power struggles through legal means by siding with his rival Norbert Kunonga. Bakari said as a result they were now waiting for divine intervention as Kunonga's well-publicized connections with the ruling ZANU-PDF party emboldened his faction to act with impunity. We have exhausted all channels, he said. And he's wanting also a military-type intervention. Again, following on the last question, it seems that you seem to be behind the eight ball and not wanting that at this particular time, yet everybody else seems to be calling for that.
David, I might direct that question to Alan.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's true that frustrations are there. But at times you have to realize that when you're dealing with a regime like that, where the normal process of legal systems seemed not to be actually working the way supposed to work. And those frustrations are there, and our people continue to live with them, that they cannot have access to the property, as I said before. But at this stage, as according to our canons and constitution as Central African province, we own that property as a province, not as a diocese. And it's very clear. And we've gone into courts, but we have realized to say, well, if we push things now to push for judgments, especially for the person or the judges handling the matter, it might not work in our favor because of the situation. So we have sort of tended to play it, wait and see what is going to come when this accord is signed and people are working together. Because definitely we know that then the judiciary is going to be independent of the executive and they'll be able to operate and decide independently. That's where we are.
May I just follow up with another comment in the story, if I may, Archbishop? Bukhari said efficient justice delivery on the dispute are being compromised by Kananga's attempts to use political influence and alleged links to the party. But he said they are conniving with some rogue members of the police force and working in unison to violate the High Court. We are not going to fight them. Prayer is the only solution. The police officers claim to be acting on instruction from the president's office to intimidate his group, and he dismissed this as some rogue members of society who wanted to exercise power that they do not have in the name of the president. The major problem emanated from the politicization of a clearly ecclesiastical issue. Would you agree with that statement?
That's true, yes. It has been politicized because Norbert is a very staunch supporter of Mugabe, and it's open. There's no hide and seek about it. It has always been that way. I recall even some of the episcopal synods as a province of Central Africa. Whenever the issue of Zimbabwe came on board to be discussed, you would quickly say, that is a Zimbabwean issue. You have nothing to do with it. You know, that's how you used to cut us from discussing further the issues affecting the people in Zimbabwe. Yeah. But that was never made us not to speak. And even among the Zimbabwean themselves, Zimbabwean bishops, you would see the differing views about it because their friend was protecting the powers be when others could be honest and saying things are not correct in Zimbabwe.
Yes, I want to add something, maybe as a direct or indirect response to your question. I think something like targeted sanctions towards Mugabe per se, in the light of this statement, might actually work. Mugabe still freely travels all over the world. I'm at pains also to say we know in Matabele land how many people were killed by the Mugabe regime, and we respect and uphold the sanctity of life. And we don't want, in this very difficult time, to have any one Zimbabwean lose their life. But the pressure on Mugabe to resign or to step down needs to be intensified.
Colin, we'll keep going. George, hold it. Colin? Okay. Paul?
Bishop, I wondered if you fear coming to this meeting or going home.
Well, I'm not Zimbabwean per se. I'm a Zambian, except that Zimbabwe is within my jurisdiction as a dean of the province. As you may know, Central Africa is composed of Botswana, Zimbabwe, Malawi, and Zambia. And right now I've been speaking to Sebastian. We are arranging to go and elect a new bishop when his time comes to vacate the see. So definitely I'm not scared, because at one time I was threatened when we went to install Sebastian in the hotel where I was staying. People came asking me to leave the hotel with immediate effect that night. I was going to lose my life, and I should ask my bishops to vacate the hotel. And of course, being human, I was terrified. But in the end, I resolved in my hotel room that whatever happens to me, it is God's business, not my business. And we had to put up with all that threat, and the next morning, as per plan, we quietly left Zimbabwe. I've been there about 3 weeks ago. I went to see Sebastian over the same issues of arranging to find his successor. And definitely, I would say yes, it's quite not comfortable to be there, but I do go. I say this is God's business, and God will protect me.
Where is that?
Hello. Riaz Akbar from The Guardian. Why would your call for Mugabe to step down be any more effective or powerful than anyone else's?
We're also asking for divine intervention. But I think the critical thing is that there's a choir of voices out there. There are ecumenical partners in South Africa, within Zimbabwe, and there have been international voices that have been calling for Mugabe. We are reiterating their call, and we are intensifying that call and doing what we do best, praying that the situation may change.
As a follow-up to that, how would you describe, churches aside, so leaving aside what other churches and religious establishments have said about the situation in Zimbabwe, how do you feel about the international response to the situation? Has it gone too far? Could it go further?
It has. Well, President Mugabe has got a way of, in tennis, just volleying people back, using terms like "you've gone too far," "you're an imperialist," or "there's an attempt for regime change." But I think, as a South African who, as home is Makgowasluf, which is the border with Zimbabwe, we feel the impact of the Zimbabwean coming through. But as a South African also who knows the scourge and the pain of apartheid, we appreciated when a number of voices actually sang with one tune and added pressure on the apartheid regime. So we hope that we will be able to do that with the situation of Zimbabwe.
I'll just take two more, and George, and then David. George? Mm.
A clarification on a question. When you spoke of the deaths in Matabele land, were you speaking of the suppressions of ZAPU in the 1980s?
Yes.
So you weren't? Okay.
Yes.
And the second question I have, with the election of Muammar Gaddafi as president of the African Union, mm-hmm. you, in your November 28th statement, you called on the African Union to take the lead in bringing change. Do you now, given that Mugabe and Gaddafi have been allies for many years, would you repeat that call and call upon President Gaddafi to lead the change in Zimbabwe?
It's a difficult question that you're asking me, but one would presume or suppose that within the African Union, Gaddafi will not be the sole player, that there are people of integrity, there are people who know the challenges that Africa is facing. But if you look at that call, we were saying not only the African Union, but we were also calling for international voices. We called Ban Ki-moon, and together with the Archbishop of Canterbury, we spoke to Mr. Ban Ki-moon to highlight the challenges that were there in Zimbabwe. And all I'm saying is everyone who believes in the sanctity of life, everyone who wants the human dignity and the human rights of God's people to be respected needs to be solicited and needs to be asked to join in this choir of saying, God's people are suffering, and let's do something so that Zimbabwe becomes God's place and the eternal promises of God are realized amongst the people of Zimbabwe.
David.
I would like complete clarity in my mind, Archbishop, and I don't have it, and I apologize if I misunderstood you, and I don't wish to misunderstand you.
Okay.
Are you saying that you do not support Archbishop Sentamu's call for a military intervention, or you are supportive of that position?
What I'm saying is, as a South African, we went through pain and hardship. And as a South African, I'm saying, let's pull all the stops that we need to pull to ensure that the rule of law is respected in Zimbabwe. Let's use even targeted sanctions to isolate Mugabe from traveling all over the world and his wife. Let's get Mugabe's cronies brought to the book. But I'm at pain to suggest military intervention because God's people will be affected.
Well, thank you, brothers and sisters.